with us this morning. Just a couple brief announcements before we prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for the worship of our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, following the worship service, we will be decorating the church for Christmas. This is the first Sunday in Advent, and traditionally in Advent, we do decorate the church here, and if you would be willing to stay and help, many hands make light work, and if you have any questions, Ray Solo, he will be heading that up, and Ray is right there, so you can talk with Ray after the service. Also, next Sunday, December the 7th, it's hard to believe that we're moving into the month of December already, but you are all invited, following our worship service on the 7th, to a taco lunch. You don't have to bring anything, the food will be provided, but if you would like to bring a dish to share, please feel free to do so. And then lastly, on the back of your bulletin, Sunday, December the 14th at 10:30 a.m., we will be having our Christmas program here at Trinity, and please plan to be a part of that. Let's prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worshiping of our Lord and coming Savior, Jesus Christ.
We'll bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For God is so good, for God is so good, for God he is so good, he's so good to me. We'll bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For I love him so, for I love him so, for I love him so, he's so good to me. For God is so good, for God he is so good, for God he is so good, he's so good to me.
Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your joy. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We bow our heads and our hearts in honor to you and recognizing that you are the sovereign, supreme God of the universe. Oh, Jesus, we proclaim you as King. We hail you as our Savior, and we thank you for being our friend. Precious Savior, we invite you here into this place, and we pray that you would open our hearts and impact our minds, and may you find everything that is done and said here to be truly honoring and truly glorifying unto only you. And so, Father, we commit this service into your care. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray. Just impact us and move us and mold us and shape us and form us into your likeness that we truly might be moved to follow you, to grow in our relationship with you. And, O Christ, we love you. We praise you and we honor you. And we pray this in the mighty and the wondrous name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
we thank you for all you've done in our lives, Father, and all you're going to do, Lord, Father. If there's anybody that's carried anything with them today, Lord, let them leave it up here with you, never to be remembered ever again. Let them forget about it. Father, we ask that you come into our lives, show us the purpose and why you want us to be who we are, Lord. Have a special blessing over this church, Father, and all of them that are here, Lord, and those that couldn't be here, Lord. We thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You have to forgive me if I do start crying up here, because as you can know from what you've seen up there, it was a very emotional experience. Emotion, I would say, would even put it pale compared to the greatness of what we experienced down there. God's purpose for each of us was really revealed truly through each of the personalities that traveled with us on this journey. It was such an amazing experience to be a part of God's mission field, to go down there and to experience true joy in people who have nothing, to look into people's eyes who, by our own comparison, we would want to take pity on, and yet they were pouring love in our direction. It wasn't just what God had us down there to do, but also what he did in each individual's lives while we were down there. I can tell you, there wasn't one of us that went down who wasn't profoundly impacted. Humility, to be thankful for every little part of your life that God has blessed you with, to know that God has called each of us, every one of us, by name, with a purpose in his plan, truly, above all things, was the greatest thing that was revealed. That in each of us, as long as we can step aside of ourselves and forget about that pride, all of that purpose that we put in our lives for ourselves, and to realize that there is something much greater that God has planned for us. And when we're able to see the love that we experience down there, it becomes very evident. I would have to say that I saw God moving not just in the activities, in the people, but also to know that the Holy Spirit was moving through each and every one of the members that was down there to be the channel of God's love in a way that was reviving. You know, for us, we all feel that by our participation with church and prayer and devotionals, that we have this unique, you know, relationship with God that we want to share in any way that we can. When we go down into a mission field, it becomes more evident. And I have to tell you that it changed my life in a way, in humility, to realize that, and I prayed before I went down, that we get in our comfort zones while we're here. We put protectors on and blinders on, and we create our own plans on our own agendas. And what we really need to realize is that it's God's plan, and that each and every one of us here is in that plan, and that each and every one of us are gifted to be able to go out and go and do what God has for us to do. So if any of you ever have considered mission work here, we have a very active family in many ways, locally, within the local cities, states, and now a working relationship on another country. I can't begin to encourage you enough. Please come forward. Tell Pastor Max or myself or any of the other active mission people that it is on your heart, because God has works planned for you each. He hasn't planned in advance the littlest of things that you may not realize. We went 2,400 miles to fix a computer, something as simple as a computer. There was one day where we were out and everybody again was called into their own duties. They were all out working, helping to support the local ministries. And I kind of like, well, I figured I'd hang back a little bit at the house with Pastor John, and he revealed to me that he was very frustrated with his computer, and it just happened to be something that I was equipped to do. I didn't think that that's what I was there to do, but God knew that's what I was there to do. Something as simple as that one little task helped him tremendously, where he was handicapped and unable to do certain things for the couple of churches that he was working with. So it could be the smallest of little things, but it's large in other people's eyes. And if it's God-intended and God-driven, don't be the person to hold back. Jump over the hurdles and go do that duty. I want to thank Pastor Max for allowing our church to be active out in the mission fields. And my one word to you is please, if you have a heart to serve, which we all do, don't miss this opportunity. See us about a mission trip in the future. God will break your heart wide open, and he will reveal to you your purpose in his plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. And as Ray said, it is very true that God is in the small things. It doesn't matter what it is, fixing a computer. And to think that we serve such a vast God, that he cares about those elements in other people's lives to send someone. There are other things I could share, and I don't want to point anybody out, you know, by name, but every individual on the team, I can tell you here, there's a distinct reason and purpose why God sent you down to Mexico. Know that. Just as Ray said, there's a distinct purpose why all of us, as the body of Christ here, as members of this church here, we have a distinct role, a distinct purpose that no one else could fulfill. As Ray mentioned, that Friday came along and there he was fixing the computer. I know I couldn't have done that. There was no way. I didn't have the ability or the talent or the skills. And to think that God would send an individual 2,400 plus miles to do that for that individual. And there's other things, and I could go on and on and on. But know that you all are called. We are all called. And the little tasks, the small things of life, may we never overlook. And so as we move throughout these next several weeks, may we all just have our hearts awakened, and may we all just engage the purpose that the Lord Christ has for all of us. And may we all embrace that purpose and seize the call as God calls us to go and to serve. As we continue our time of worship here this morning with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we all give back a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with.
Hi. If you want to join in, it would make me very, like, a lot more comfortable. So please do. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back.
If you would please stand and let us join together in singing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love and for your grace. We thank you for calling us into the kingdom of light to serve your purpose, to expand your glory, and to bring praises unto you. Father, what a privilege, what an honor, and what an absolute wonderful opportunity to just present you back with a portion of what you have blessed us with. May we just use these gifts, these tithes, and these offerings to honor you, to edify you, to expand your holy kingdom. May you bless them and uplift them, and may you be honored in everything that is done through them. Father, we thank you and we love you, and we lift this to you in the wonderful name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's reading from God's Word is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. If you're utilizing your pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1818, a reading from the book of Ephesians. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May God bless the reading of his word. Thank you. You know, all the time when we were in Mexico, I was struck by the simplicity of their worship services, yet the spirit filling of all of their worship services. And they had nothing to really worry about as far as different things, but the simplicity was just wonderful. The spirit filling was just absolutely incredible and amazing. As I said, we are starting a series titled God's Gift to You, and this morning I want to speak about His purpose for you and for me. In the book Learning to Lead, J.M. Boyce tells the following. There is a story involving Yogi Berra, the well-known catcher for the New York Yankees, and Hank Aaron, who at the time was the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves. The teams were playing in the World Series, and as usual, Yogi was keeping up his ceaseless chatter, intended to pep up his teammates on the one hand and distract the Milwaukee batters on the other. As Aaron came to the plate, Yogi tried to distract him by saying, "Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark." Aaron didn't say a word, but when the next pitch came, he hit it into the left field bleachers. After rounding the bases and tagging up at home plate, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and said, "I didn't come up here to read." You know, that speaks to focus, it speaks to purpose, and Hank Aaron knew what he was there to do. He knew what he was supposed to be about. He wasn't there to read the trademark, he was there to hit the ball. He was there to get on base, and he had a specific purpose. The purpose that Hank Aaron knew was when he went to the plate. It was not to read, it was to hit the ball. We all have a God-given purpose. The Lord has given each of us a purpose in life and within the body of believers. Our individual purposes given to us by God, although they may be different, when we work together, they truly bring glory to God. Although I was gone, I heard of the testimony of all the work that took place at the parsonage. And friends, all of us have a unique, distinct purpose. What a blessing it was to hear the body of Christ coming together and working together as we were in Mexico, working together as one. You all were here working together as one as well. George Santayana, he states this. He says, "Imagine people going to work day after day without knowing their company's business. Yet that's exactly what happens when church members don't know what their church is trying to do. Fanaticism consists in redoubling your efforts when you have forgotten your aim." As we move throughout this series, I want to call us back to the aim that God has for us, the aim that He has given to you and to me. And sadly, as George Santayana states, this is exactly the case of many churches. There are people attending, and yet they don't know their purpose and why they are attending. Worse yet, people attend with their own agenda, seeking to bring about their own purposes for the church. Prior to leaving for the mission trip to Mexico, we as a team, we read a devotional which sought to prepare us mentally and spiritually. I often read other materials for the purpose of furthering preparing me so I could more adequately prepare the team to know what to expect, to know what they should expect, and to know how to interact with the people of Mexico, and most importantly, how to support Pastor Sullivan and how to adequately represent the Lord during our time there. Sadly, I must confess that even with all the material I read, the purpose which I felt we would have, it never materialized. You see, the purpose I felt God would have us serve during our time in Mexico, it never happened. I came to God with a focused purpose, and I didn't allow God to show us His purpose for why we were there. The things which I thought we would do never came to fruition, and worse yet, the ones which did come to fruition, they sometimes didn't meet my expectations, because my view of our purpose for being in Mexico did not match the Lord's purpose for us being there. That's harsh. That's shocking. But looking at it in hindsight, in retrospect, there's some value in understanding that as the disciples thought that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom, we too can sometimes fill in the end result of what God wants to do. And friends, there's a danger in that. There's a distinct danger in that, because then when we do that, we are not allowing God to be God, and we are trying to be something that we are not. We're trying to be something other than that which God has created. And so this morning, I want us to understand that when the church has the right focus, God is glorified. I want us to all hear that statement again. When the church has the right focus, God is glorified. The saving grace for us while we were in Mexico was that we all felt we would serve as the Lord led. To put it succinctly, we were willing to do whatever the Lord asked and not question or hesitate. This was a wonderful thing to see how each of our team members stepped up and served in ways which we were uncomfortable in and even caused us all to be challenged. This, my friends, is what the Lord requires. What God wants from you and from me is to be focused upon Him, to hear Him, to listen to Him, and to follow Him so that He alone receives the glory. When we fail to do that, it is us that receives the glory. This was the message the Apostle Paul had for the church in Corinth. And this church in Corinth was a church fighting and squabbling over attention and clamoring over who they connected with and even over their particular roles. Yet the Apostle Paul speaks this message clearly to the church at Corinth. The message the Apostle Paul had was this: when the church has the right focus, God is glorified. This message was not only for the church at Corinth, but it was for you and for me today. And our text this morning is found in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 7 and ending with verse 9. Listen to our scripture this morning. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are equal, and each shall receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. In this passage, the Apostle Paul speaks of different roles or different specific purposes, the one who plants and the one who waters. He states these two are equal and calls both God's fellow workers. You see, friends, there are different roles within the body of believers, but each one of these roles or purposes have the same focus, to serve the Lord and to bring Him glory. While we were in Mexico, I saw on our team many different people with many different purposes, many different roles, many different talents and abilities and gifts. I saw only one goal or focus during our time there, and that was namely to bring glory to God. There were some who served and some who loved with the love of Christ. There were some who sought to communicate with the people of Mexico. There were some who were willing to be hospitable to those who had no voice. And friends, let's be sure, these are all about being the hands and feet of Christ and showing the love of Jesus. God was and still is being glorified through what was done in Mexico and through the work completed here on the parsonage. For friends, when the church has the right focus, God is glorified. The right focus is to serve in any way which the Lord calls you and I to serve, to be willing to step out of our comfort and step into the life of those we may not even understand. This is exactly what the Lord did when He sent Jesus to step out of heaven and into your world and mine. His focus was upon serving God the Father, which ultimately blessed you and me and brought glory to the Lord. Hear that. Jesus' focus was upon serving God the Father, which ultimately blessed you and me and brought glory to the Lord. When the church has the right focus, God is glorified. Our focus must be upon what the Lord would have us to do. We must never focus upon our wants, our desires, or our yearnings. We must never make ministry about us. Ministry must always be about God and the Lord's will. As the Apostle Paul stated, it doesn't matter whether you plant or water. What matters is where your focus is. Your focus and my focus must be upon serving God and bringing Him the glory. For it is all about God. God is the one who brings the growth, not you or not me. We are all servants of the God Most High. As we close this morning, I close with the words of Pastor Eduardo's wife. And her words were, "What are you all doing here in Mexico?" You have a mission at home. And yes, you heard me correctly. That is exactly what she stated to us in a church service. Although sometimes we all need to go to a place where we will be stretched and pushed out of our comfort zones. Pastor Eduardo's wife is correct when she said that you and I, we have a mission at home. We do have a mission here at home in Gibsonburg, a mission to reach those in need, a mission to love those who need to experience the love of Christ, a mission to express the forgiveness to those in need of a relationship with the Lord, a mission to be the hands and feet of God within our community. Billy Sunday said it this way, "More people fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent." You see, it doesn't matter how much talent or ability that we have. When we get disconnected from the purpose that God has for all of us, we will fail in what God has called us to do. Friends, we need not fret over having a lack of purpose, for we all have been given purpose from Christ our King, to serve Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him, to reach the lost, to make disciples, and the list goes on and on and on. But before you and I get overwhelmed, let's just look at this one way. When we were in Mexico, we broke it down. We had no language. The language barrier was there, so we could hardly communicate with those individuals. So we sought to relate to those people we came in contact with in the best way that we knew how. Sometimes that was hand gestures. Sometimes it was a handshake. Sometimes it was a hug. And friends, it was just extending the love of Christ. It was truly being the hands and feet of God to them. And friends, my challenge to all of us is that is our purpose. For God called you and me the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And for when we go out these doors, may we be that light to those people who are in desperate need of it. May we be that salt that causes other people to be thirsty for what we have, a relationship with the risen Christ, and allow them to connect with us, to connect with them, and to lead them into that fellowship with our Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the church has the right focus, God is glorified. You see, it's not about you or me. It's about the living God. It's about Christ, the King and the Lord, who has come to serve, and so we too serve Him. I close with this. In February of 1980, the U.S. Olympic hockey team slipped its foot into a glass slipper and walked away with a gold medal at Lake Placid, New York. Those collegians who had shocked the world by upsetting the powerful Soviet team, and then they grabbed the championship from Finland while the crowd chanted, USA, USA. Before his team's victory over the Soviet Union, which advanced them to the finals, the coach of the U.S. hockey team told his players, "You were born to be a player. You were meant to be here at this time. This is your moment." Friends, God says to you and to me, "You are my son. You are my daughter. I have adopted you into my family. This is your time. You were meant to live during this day to bring me glory." May we all rise to the challenge. May we all become the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and to express the love of Christ that He has lavished upon every single one of us as we go forth each and every day. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank You, Jesus. We thank You that You meant for all of us to be here at this time. You meant for this to be the moment that we can bring You glory. We thank You for this moment that we have the opportunity to serve You, to honor You, to bring You glory. We thank You, Jesus, that this is our purpose, to focus upon You, the Lord God, Christ our King and our Savior, and ultimately to lead others into that vital relationship that will change the destiny of eternity for them. So, Father, we thank You for this purpose. We thank You for this role in history. We thank You for ordaining these days that You have graced us with to serve You in this way. Father, we pray that You would continue to challenge all of us as we serve You by reaching out into this world to reach those who are the least of these, the lost, those people who are in desperate need. of your forgiveness and grace. And so, precious Jesus, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this challenge. And we thank you for the word that when we know when the body of Christ has its focus right, that ultimately you and you alone are glorified. We pray this in a wonderful name. And we bless you, O Christ our Lord. In the blessed name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.